Look, if you will, Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. All right? You know, I started reading in the wrong verse. It's bad when you have notes and you can't read your own notes. I needed to start at verse 10, all right? But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure need your help today. I want to be a blessing. Lord, I want you to challenge us today. I want to ask you to speak to every heart. May the Holy Spirit have just free reign in the service today. And Lord, help me to say what you want said. And guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, if you will, three phrases out of this passage of Scripture, okay? Verse 11, it says, every knee. Every knee. Also in verse 11, it says, every tongue. Every tongue. And then in verse 12, it says, every one. Every one. Every knee, every tongue, and every one. Hey, we have gotten used to the idea in our day that the word every and the word all and other such words do not really mean every and all. Okay, you say, what do you mean? Well, we've got accustomed to people exempting themselves. We've got accustomed to our Congress passing laws that affect everyone except Congress. Now, I don't know if you know that, but they do pass laws, and in the law it says that Congress itself is exempted from that law. Our new president caused a stir in some quarters with his mask mandate for folks on federal property, which he almost immediately violated himself. And, you know, I listening to a news media person and was talking for him and said, oh, listen, we've got bigger things to worry about than that. Yeah, I understand. You see, we get used to the idea that everyone doesn't really mean everyone today, all right? It seems there's always some loopholes for somebody, you know, just always that way. You have to read the fine print when you get stuff in the mail. You remember, I don't know if you've got these things, but I think most people have gotten them. Get that letter in the mail that said, you are a winner. You ever got those? Man, you know, the first one I got, I said, whoa, I am. I'm a winner. But you have to read further. And the print gets smaller. And finally, it gets down there. There's a point where it says, you are the winner. You're guaranteed to be a winner. Now, they've already said that five times up above that. But then you get down there and it says, if. That little fine print, okay? There's that loophole, all right? Loophole. Then we've got plenty of spoiled brats, and both young and old, by the way, who believe that everybody else has to follow the rules, but because they're special, it is okay and not necessary for them to do it. You've been on the road with people like that, haven't you? You're on the highway, you know, and you're in heavy traffic, and some yahoo back here gets off on the shoulder and comes ripping by. Why? Well, the law doesn't apply to me. It's for all of y'all. For all of y'all, not for me, all right? Hey, can I say this to you? The world is in for a rude awakening. A rude awakening. There's some judgments coming. There's some judgments coming in which everybody will be involved. Everybody will be involved. No exceptions. No exceptions. And that's what I'm going to preach to you about this morning. No exceptions. No exceptions. Now, I'm going to preach especially today to people that are saved. You've been born again. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You have a home in heaven. Nothing can take that away from you. Because you see, look there, if you will, all right. In verse 10, it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you see that? That's the judgment seat of Christ. Folks, there's two great judgments coming. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, after death, the judgment. Everybody is going to one day stand before God in judgment. Now, we're not going to all stand at the same judgment. But the book of Romans was written to save people. It was written to people in the church at Rome. You say, what kind of church was it? Church just like this one. It was a local, New Testament, independent, premillennial, missionary church. All right? It was. They believe what we believe. You say, I know, because we believe what Paul wrote to them. All right? So we believe it. All right? Church like this, local church. Now, so he's talking here to save people. He said, you're going to stand in judgment. You say, well, what about people that are not saved? The Bible gives their judgment in Revelation chapter 20. It's not going to be the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be the great white throne judgment. And I want you to know, everybody here, you'll be at one of those judgments. One of those judgments. Now, which one you wind up at is your choice. Your choice. But without exception, number one, I want you to be with me. All will appear. All will appear. You see that in verse 10? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. It's where the saved be. It's not going to be a judgment of sin. I don't believe it's going to be a judgment of sin. It's going to be a judgment of our works. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It's works judgment. And so we're going to stand there. All, I just want you to know, all will appear. If your name's on the list, you will show up. You will show up. Years ago, they're both dead and gone now, so they can't be reached for. I can tell this. Years ago, my mom got a jury summons. Got a jury summons. Now, my brother knows what's coming. That's why he's laughing, all right? My mom got a jury summons. Now, I don't really know why my dad did this, okay? And I'm not suggesting you do it. I'm not preaching this as right and proper, all right? But dad's the one that got it. Dad tore it in half, threw it in the trash can. All right? So what happened? Well, 6 years later, Mom got out of prison. No, just kidding. All right, she never went to prison. All right? But the truth is, some of those you can get out of. I've been summoned to jury duty. I've been there before, and, there's been times where I've got dismissed. Other times, you know, you sit here, and I sit there all day, and then I was dismissed. By the way, they really don't want independent fundamental Baptist preachers on a jury, okay? They don't want me on a jury. You say, why? We're too opinionated. We see the world in black and white. A fellow, people you want on juries is got various shades of gray, all right? You don't want somebody that sees it in black and white, you know? I'm the kind of guy that says, yes, he did it. Hang him, all right, you know? Let him go right now. I'll escort him to the chair now. I guess to the gurney, they do it now, But you can get out of some of those things. But I'm going to tell you something. If your name's on the list, you say, what list? The Lamb's Book of Life. If your name's there, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody's going to be able to take your place. You can't pay somebody to stand for you. You're not going to be able to go and say, well, this is my representative. He will answer all. No, no. It's you. It's you. It's just going to be you and the great judge of this universe, face to face. Let me say this to you. I've seen some courtrooms before when the person brought in, defendant, was a smart aleck and disdainful, arrogant, Tell you something, when you stand before God, it ain't going to be that way. You talk about wiping the smug off, it'll wipe it off. It will wipe it off. You're going to be there. Notice, all will appear. No exceptions. No exceptions. Not only that, I want you to see this. All will acknowledge. Would you look there in verse 11? It says, every knee shall bow to me, is what the Lord says. Every knee shall bow. Everyone, without exception, is going to acknowledge the greatness of God and the unworthiness of self. When you stand before that judge, your knee's going to bow. You're going to hit your knees. You'll be there. You don't deserve to stand in His presence. You don't deserve to stand in His presence. I've taught world history a couple of times, and there were some of the great kingdoms and of the world in history that you could come into the presence of the king and you could speak in His presence, but you couldn't speak to Him. Hey, listen, those guys thought they were big shots. Let me tell you, you stand before God, you're not going to be able to stand. You're going to acknowledge and concede to Him, I am unworthy to be here. I'm unworthy to be here. We live in a time where a lot of people have got an inflated sense of their own importance. I mean, they really think they're important in this whole world. Even among Christians, I'm going to make a statement. I believe there's some that think they can get along without God. I think you're dead wrong. Even professing Christians in our day tend to pay lip service to the glory, the honor, and the praise that belongs to God. But it's not real. It is not real. Let me tell you, in that day, every knee will bow in submission to him. The most proud, arrogant individual you've ever met will bow. And I'll tell you, I've been in the presence of some people who I believe were saved, but they were very arrogant. And they have their ability to look down, as we say, look down their nose at other people. And they look down their nose at me. You said, how did that make you feel? Didn't bother me a bit. Doesn't bother me at all. You can think you're the neatest thing since sliced bread, okay? But I just want to tell you, one of these days, every knee shall bow. No exceptions. No exceptions. Not only that, look at what the Bible says. Every tongue shall confess to God. You know what that means? Everyone's going to admit.
That's right. Yes, sir.
They're going to have to admit it. They're going to confess. To confess is to own up. It is to say, I'm guilty. This is what I did. Hey, this meeting is not going to be for social reasons. It's going to be a time of confession. We stand before Him. Every tongue, the Bible says, shall confess to God. There won't be any weaseling around.
Amen.
Not any of that. I have had the privilege for 45 years or so to be involved in our Christian school. And I've worked with young people almost 50 years. I've started working with teenagers when I graduated from high school. And that the fall of that year, I began to work with teenagers in the church. And man, I want to tell you, in those years, nearly 50 years, I've heard a lot of people do everything but confess. But the Bible says every tongue shall confess. Shall confess. Have you ever had to confess for wrongdoing? I'm going to give you an illustration, and you're going to say, that's nothing. But it was something to me. It was before I got in school. I was 4, maybe 5 years old. And I was doing what any red-blooded American boy would do. There was a cat got in the yard, and I threw a rock at it. Said, "Did you hit it?" "Of course not. I was 4 or 5 years old. I probably couldn't hit the house with a rock, okay? But I threw a rock at the cat. I don't want that beast in our yard." By the way, my opinion of cats hasn't changed. If you love them, God bless you. It's a good thing somebody does, all right? Or there would be no cats in the world. But I did that, and I thought, man, I missed. But then my mom calls me. There should not be a window at the sink in a house. That should be outlawed. But there was a window there, and Mom was washing dishes or something in the kitchen. I don't know what she was doing, but she saw me. She had me come in the house. I didn't know, but the cat belonged to the neighbor next door. I'm sure that wouldn't have made a difference had I known it, but it belonged to the neighbor next door, and she said, "You go over next door, and you tell," and she called the lady's name, and I don't remember her name. She called her, said, "You go tell her you're sorry you threw a rock at her cat." Mom, you remember the old-fashioned spanking? Could we not just go that route? Just get the belt and put it on me. And I'm sure it'll help my bad conduct. No. Did you say that? Of course not. I was already in trouble. I didn't need to make it worse. But man, it took me forever to go out our front door, take a right turn. The church was right next to our house. Walk past the church to the house just past the church. And walk up on that porch and knock on that door. And wait there thinking, death is coming. That lady answered the door, and I had no choice but to say, "I'm sorry. I threw the rock at your cat." I don't remember what she said. I was just glad it was done. And I won't tell you, whoever said confession is good for the soul, I'm not sure it helped my soul that day, all right? But I had to confess. I had to confess. Hey, throwing a rock at a cat, it didn't hit the cat, didn't do any damage, it wasn't anything. It's not a big deal, but you're going to stand before God. And you're going to confess for yourself. You're going to confess. Hey, just think about standing before the judge that knows everything about you. He not only knows what you've done, he knows what you've thought about doing. He knows all of that. You're not going to be able to stand up there and pull some fancy argument. You're not going to be able to do that. You will stand before him and confess to him. Hey, you can't come out with excuses. The excuses men will have used and will use will not work with God, who is your judge. You're going to have just confess. You're going to confess to God your failures. I believe we'll confess our failures. I believe we'll confess our omissions, what we did not do. Hey, he knows them. But the Bible says the Christian will have to admit to them, have to confess. But that's not all. Would you just go a little step further, all right? Verse 12 says, "We shall give account of himself to God." I got to thinking, what in the world is he talking about there? He's already said we're going to stand. He's already said every knee shall bow. He's already said every tongue shall confess. What more is there? Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. All will answer. Not, hey, this is not going to be a time to deflect from yourself to somebody else. Won't be able to do that. Won't be able to do that. In politics. In politics, wonderful thing in this country, two parties. You can blame it on the other party. You can blame it on the other party. If it's bad, it's their fault. We inherited that. We're trying to fix what they did. Or, hey, we did it. It's all us. It's good and we're responsible. You can give us credit for it, all right? Hey, I want to tell you something. There's not going to be any of that when you stand before God. There's not going to be anybody to deflect it to. I've stood up here and jokingly said, I got in a lot of trouble when I was a kid because my brother, he led me into it. Hey, you hear me? You ain't going to be able to do that standing before God. You're going to give an account of yourself. You're going to have to answer. You're going to have to answer. You're not going to give an account for your friend. You're not going to give an account for your neighbor. You're not going to give an account for your competitor. Not accounting for the one that you gossiped about, but for yourself. Yourself. You'll stand before God. You're going to have to answer for yourself. You say, what do you mean? I can't help but believe that this giving account is going to involve the why of what we've done or not done. To give an account. To give an account. When you really give an account, you not only say, all right, this is what we've done, but you say, but this is why we did it. This is why. And I'll tell you, there's two great answers today to the question of why. I see it all the time. Here's the first one. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, why'd you do that? The second one, almost as good. I don't know. Talking to your kids. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Are you satisfied with that answer? No. Now, you were satisfied as a kid when you gave that answer. But that's not a why. Why'd you do it? I don't know. I don't know. Now, the truth of the matter is, yes, you do. Yes, you do. I just can't help but believe we're going to have to answer the why. You know, the I don't know, the shrug, it's not going to work. It is not going to work. You might have to confess, hey, the Lord, I just really didn't care about what you said. Preacher, I'd never say that. Well, I know you'd never say it, but you might do it. And if you stand before Him and that's what you've done, and the Lord said, He wants you to do something. You didn't do it. Why? Well, I just didn't want to. I just didn't want to do it. Hey, what about it? Why didn't you use your opportunities? Why didn't you use the opportunities God gave you? Why didn't you use the talent God gave you for Him? For Him. I just don't understand it. We had a kid, I'm going to give you the short version of the story. We had a kid that was in another Christian school, in our Christian school league, and we had a music competition. That young fellow's talent and ability was amazing. You know, you see some little kid come up on some kind of competition, and you expect to hear,
Jesus loves me, this I know.
You expect that? And instead you get, Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, and everybody's passing out. That was this guy. He had that kind of talent. He had that kind of ability. His dad was an evangelist. His whole family was truly talented. But no, it wasn't the noble family, okay? I don't want you to think, man, that must have been them nobles. No, it wasn't them, all right? Dad was an evangelist, talented, talented guy. And won everything. Won everything. He not only entered in his age, he entered in every category above him because then you could do it. And he won every one of them. After that, we passed a rule that said you can't do that except in your deal. made all the older kids feel bad, you know. Gave them a complex. Here's the sad end of that story. The next time I saw that fellow's name, it was on the billboard on I-35 over here. He was appearing at Billy Bob's. All that talent, all that ability, not using it for God. Not using it for God. Hey, if that young man's saved, I'll tell you this, I believe he'll stand before God one of these days. He's going to have to answer to God, why didn't you use your talent for me? I gave it to you and you wasted it. You wasted it. Some of the people that are well known in the entertainment industry, if you go back in their life, you'll find they started singing in church. Now what they sing is not fit to be heard in the dog pen, much less in church. Hey, you're going to have to give an account. You had some talent. You had some ability. Why didn't you use it for God? Why didn't you use it? Now, we have a tendency to sit and say, it's a good thing. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have any ability. Yeah, you do. God blessed every one of us with some ability. Now, we may have to develop it. We may have to work at it. But he blessed us with some ability. And he gives us opportunity. I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart we'll stand before God one of these days and answer for why we didn't take advantage of that. How many are going to have to realize that they should have taken this thing called Christianity a lot more seriously? We're Christians. Should have made it plain that there's more to being a child of God than just getting born again. Hey, you get into the family of God, but when you get there, there's a life to live. There's a way to live. There's a way to conduct yourself. The Bible said, you're not your own. Listen to me one day, without exception, no exception, you'll stand before God and you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account. Is it going to be with you? You're going to be wishing right then, you know, I wish I'd have been more serious about serving my Lord. I wish I'd have been more faithful serving Him. I wish I hadn't have thought that that life I had was just for me to live it up. That money that God provided for me wasn't just for me to waste, but I was to invest it. Invest it. Can I say this to you? Every one of us, without exception, we'll all stand before God as our judge. Everyone, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Everyone, every tongue shall confess. Every one of us is going to have to give an account. That day's coming. Can I say this to you? Now's the time you need to examine your life and the depth of your relationship with God. You need to examine it right now. You see, if you can fix it now, you won't have so much to be ashamed of when you appear before Him. You won't have so much to be ashamed of, but you better fix it now. Hey, the more faithful you are, the less you're going to have to shamefully confess. The less you'll have to do it. You mark it down, no exceptions. All will appear. All will acknowledge. All will admit. And all will give an account. What's that day going to be like for you? What's that day going to be like for you? My friend, I just want to ask you, is there some things need to be adjusted in your life? This thing called Christianity is not just so we can gather together on Sunday and pat ourselves on the back and think how wonderful we are and go home. No, it's a life to live before the whole world. We're to live that life. There's a way we're to live. There's opportunities come our way we're to use to serve God. You've been given some talents. You've been given some abilities. You put them on the shelf. Why'd you do that? God blessed you with it. Use them. Use it. You said, I have no ability. You have some. Everybody's got some. Now, maybe you just hadn't looked long enough to figure yours out, but it's there. You'll stand before him. What are you going to have to say? Would you stand here this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed? Would you just stop and consider, with every head bowed and every eye closed, what it's going to be like when you stand before God? When you have to honestly admit your situation. Hey, maybe you're here this morning, you've never really admitted the fact you're a sinner. And you need to be born again. You need to be saved. He'll save you if you'll come to him. If you'll trust him. We invite you to come. In a moment we'll sing a verse or two of invitation. We'll invite you to come. If you'll come, I'll meet you here at the front. All you need to do is you just come and say, "Preacher, I need to trust the Savior." If you'll do that, we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you. You'll know exactly, you'll understand what the Bible says. Christian, you're here. You've been saved. What's that time of accounting going to be like for you? No exception. No exception. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd deal with our hearts. Lord, help us to see ourselves as we really are. See the truth about ourselves. Lord, there's some things we need to work on. Maybe there's some things we need to confess today and make it right. Lord, there's some things we need to change. Would you help us to do it? Lord, would you help us to get serious about our Christianity and about the way we live and the way we serve you? Use the invitation for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn. Listen, God's speaking to you. Would you come? God's speaking to you. Would you come? He's dealing with you. Right there with you, right as you stand. A lot better to take care of it now than have to face it then. Would you come this morning while we sing this verse? Come on.